Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And a good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great last weekend of April. May's just around the corner as we're just blowing through this year.
Forging ahead.
That's exactly what we're doing. Then talking some fishing of late. We're going to switch and talk a little shooting and hunting with Texas Outdoors Journal shooting editor Kerry O'Day. And here's some of the topics that we're kicking around simply because of questions that have been raised by you all that have stopped by the Texas Outdoors Journal booth at some of these shows.
Starting off, so
if you were to purchase three guns, what might they be? You know, what are your first three guns?
Is this starting from none?
Yeah, from zero.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Someone starting out. When it comes to calibers, there's a bunch of old calibers, but there's all this new stuff. Okay.
You know where I lean.
Yes.
Anyway, okay.
We'll get into the haves and the have-nots. And then other things that Harold and Kerry and I might come up with.
I'm sure we'll find something.
Absolutely. Plus, we've got some news. Parks and Wildlife's been spending some money, actually completed a sale.
They've been spending a lot of money.
Yeah. And we've got, change into spring to summer, temperature changes. We don't know what Harold's been driving.
Allergies.
So you all stick around. And remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit hfotusa.org.
If your child has a common orthopedic condition, that doesn't mean you can only get common treatments. You can choose Shriners Children's. Our world-class care is not limited to insurance networks or to what's been done before. The same doctors who innovate treatments for the most complicated orthopedic issues will help your child grow and develop properly. See what we do at ShrinersChildren's.org. Shriners Children's, the most amazing care anywhere.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And, from wintertime, Harold, to what looked like we were heading into a drought for much of the state, to alpines even gotten, you know, rain out in West Texas a fair amount.
Hill Country got some.
Yeah, so...
East Texas did, yeah.
Maybe we're going to get those antlers growing and off to a good start. Mentioned at the top of the program that Parks and Wildlife has been spending some money actually completing what they had already committed to, and that was finalizing the purchase of 1,100 acres in Lampasas and Burnett counties, completing the second phase of an acquisition to create a new state park. The property located across the river from Colorado Bend State Park, and includes 1.5 miles of Yancey Creek, limestone bluffs, and several natural springs, combined with recent acquisitions of 2,020 acres in Burnett County. The new state park will comprise more than 3,000 acres.
Oh boy.
That's going to be nice. That's a nice chunk of ground in a really, really beautiful part of the state. Planning and is still, you know, they're still working out the logistics on that and how it will be developed and what will be left naturally.
And that's the part where they have to pay somebody to consult.
Usually.
That's like that bozo that went down was El Salvador, and they said, and the taxpayers paid for your flight, and he said, well, they always do.
Governor Abbott has been busy.
Yes.
He has appointed two individuals to serve on Parks and Wildlife Commission. Tim Timmerman of Austin has been appointed, and he reappointed Bobby Patton for terms that will set to expire February 1st of 2031.
Okay.
2031. Mm. Who would have thought that we'd be saying that kind of year?
Right.
You know, in the context of near-term events.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely crazy. What's going on in the national
news?
Oh,
no, I've got some local news.
Local news?
Yes, from the Houston Gun Collectors Association.
Ah.
Ah, yeah, these folks have been putting on over 75 years of exceptional gun shows. And on Saturday, May the 3rd, is one of their really neat one-day shows, the Gun Show in the Heights at the Northside Columbus Club. That's at 607 East Whitney, one street north of Cross Timbers between Yale and Airline, with lots of free parking. Which means you can also go to one of my new favorite restaurants, Gatlin's Fins and Feathers, which is on Cross Timbers near Yale. Anyway, great place, though, for buying and selling and looking, because they've got collectible and modern firearms, ammo, and accessories. It's about 80 tables, which means it's really easy to work the whole show, go back, try to, you know, bargain on something, go back, check something else. Again, Saturday, May the 3rd, from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. Tickets are online right now at hgca.org, but it's just $10 at the door. Under 12 is free. Free parking. The kitchen will be open. They serve up really good breakfast tacos and burgers and hot dogs, desserts, and more. And while at the show, ask about joining the club, because their monthly meetings are a lot of fun and very, very informative. Oh, really? Anyway, and their website is hgca.org. So remember, Gun Show in the Heights, Saturday, May the 3rd, at the Northside Columbus Club from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon.
Good. What about some national news?
Well, let's find some. This was a follow-up. Actually, I missed it by a couple of days. Our friend Kim Rohde.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week we reported that Kim had come in second by a one-clay loss in a sudden-death shoot-off in Buenos Aires. She said she'd be going for the gold in Lima the next week. Well, last week she won the gold in Lima in a sudden-death shoot-off by one clay.
Really?
Yeah.
Back at you.
Back at you. That's right.
All right. Anything else that...
Well, state-wise, do we know about the detection of the highly pathogenic avian influenza in mammal species in Texas? Foxes, raccoons.
Do you?
Striped skunks.
Do our listeners.
Domestic cats, they do now. Collected in Deaf Smith, Hansford, Lubbock, Ochiltree, I'm not familiar with that one, Parmer, and Randall counties. These detections resulted from collaboration between Parks and Wildlife, State Department of Health Services, Zoonosis Control Branch, and the Texas Veterinary Medical Diagnostic Lab, following widespread detections of the wild birds across the state. Detected in all 50 states now, and Puerto Rico. For mammals, the current data shows transmission occurs primarily through consumption of infected animal carcasses, though mammal-to-mammal transmission is possible. Parks and Wildlife recommends wildlife rehabilitators remain cautious when intaking wild animals with clinical signs consisting with this to limit the potential for exposure to other animals within the facility. Transmission risk of avian influenza from infected birds to people remains low, but it didn't say not at all. People should take basic protective measures, wearing gloves, face masks, hand washing, if they must make contact with wild animals. I don't want it.
Yeah. Speaking of infectious diseases,
yes.
With it warming up, and all of y'all that are going to be out maybe going squirrel hunting, because that'll open May 1st.
Right.
That are finishing up, you know, the back end of spring turkey season, taking kids out for the youth-only season, pursuing exotics. Don't forget about ticks.
Oh, yes. Correct.
You know?
Correct.
That's something that was very prominent and caution, you know, was provided in years past, but you just really don't hear that much about it anymore.
Well, you don't. And up at my place, I mean, early on, we were getting them, and then not. But then you got to be careful, and also with cleaning pigs, ticks, and also fleas.
Yeah. Some people field dress animals a la naturel. Some people use gloves.
Right.
So, you using gloves?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So
they're real cheap. Big old box full of them. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got our best bets outdoor report. We're going to find out if Harold's been on or off the road right after this.
America's best-selling truck for 48 years running is Ford. These people work hard every day to build the best trucks. Trucks you need. Trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. Ha ha! But you're not going to see them celebrate these 48 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them. It's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday. That's how they build them today. And most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 48 years, Ford's F-Series. Built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
Friends, now you can listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pandora. The country's favorite outdoor show, directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more, on demand and on the go. Download the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pandora apps, or go to Google and search Texas Outdoor News, or just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the tabs. Then listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. Harold Gunn along with Bill Olson. This portion of our show is brought to you by The Blind, and that is B-L-Y-N-D. For decades, the original blind has been known for its long-lasting durability that will not fail in the field while providing comfortable concealment at an affordable price. The Blind has been a bestseller for over 43 years, with more than 75,000 sold since 1980. Plus, The Blind's iconic design and construction are so good that original models bought over 35 years ago are still being used today. I've got several in my place. I had it for 20 years, and they're still doing the job. The Blind now introduces its next generation, the VersaBlind. Just as its name implies, the VersaBlind satisfies the needs for any hunting discipline, rifle, bow, pistol, black powder, and more. Its newly designed spacious configuration provides more room while on the same footprint. Its windows allow greater visibility, versatility, and increased shot options to harvest game. Plus, hunters now have the room to truly set up for a steady shot. See the original blind, VersaBlind, towers, tie-downs, other accessories at blind.com. That is B-L-Y-N-D.com. Remember, since 1980, it's The Blind, and dealer inquiries are welcomed.
And you can stop by one of these dealers to check out the entire lineup. Wilford Enterprises, two locations, one in Buna and the other in Koontz. West Texas Game Feeders in San Angelo. Moy's Way Shooting Sports in Kingsbury. Moore's Farm and Ranch Supply in Brady. Gibson's in Kerrville. Ebar Feeds, two locations, Hallettsville and Gonzales, as well as all four Carter's Country locations in the greater Houston area. And Barron's Farm and Feed in Fredericksburg.
And I didn't mention, check out their new cottonseed feeder.
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, yes.
Most definitely. Great, great design. All right, what do we got?
Well,
in our best bet.
Let's check those out. The Texas Outdoors Journal Fishing and Hunting Times. This weekend, Saturday's rated as good. This Sunday and Monday are two of our best days for the week. Tuesday and Wednesday are two more good ones. Thursday, Friday are the third and fourth best days of the week. Next Saturday, rated as good, while next Sunday slips to fair. This weekend, look for game to be most active from mid-morning until mid-afternoon. On Monday and Tuesday, this major feeding period of the day will occur from either side of the noon hour until late afternoon. By Wednesday and Thursday, times will have continued to adjust, with game actively feeding from early afternoon until either side of sunset. Friday and next, the day is missing. Friday and next something. We'll see this most active period occur from late afternoon until well into the evening hours after sunset. Must be Friday and next Saturday, because then we go to next Sunday.
That works.
A major time shift occurs, with game beginning to forage from well before sunrise and continuing to feed until late morning. On the coast, this weekend and on Monday, there will be a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides each day. Tuesday has a single high tide as the only tide. Wednesday through next Sunday, a string of days with a single tide schedule of one high, one low each day.
It's kind of like elementary English.
Yes.
Where the teacher leaves out something, you know, and you have to read it for comprehension.
I always thought they did that on purpose.
They did. They did. They did.
Tricky, weren't they?
All right. On the coast, we're dealing with weather, spring weather, and it's crazy. It's up and down, but the fishing's been good. Good reports coming out of Lake Calcasieu. They've got their own set of drainages that brings freshwater influence into Big Lake. Of course, most of it goes out through the Cameron jetties, and there are places that you can go hide on the east side and still catch some good fish, both specks as well as reds. Sabine Lake is turned on. A lot of activity around the jetties with sheep's head, speckled trout, redfish, and drum on with shrimp under a popping cork. Bolivar Peninsula has been productive, and the surf is starting to get right and turn on. West Galveston Bay continues to be a great opportunity to escape any water. When you're looking at your local forecast and they show the state map and you see rain up in the Metroplex or up in Northeast Texas, all that water has to go somewhere.
Yes, it does.
And it ends up coming into our bay system. And so that can have an impact, and you need to adjust accordingly. Texas City dikes, a lot of people talking about the big black drum and bull redfish that are around, and they're using half crabs to catch those behemoths. Heading on down to Matagorda, where trout and redfish will improve as the winds settle more to the southeast. Okay. We've had them very, very sporadic. Where's San Antonio Bay? There it is. San Antonio Bay, the reason why Captain Lynn Smith, who has fished out of Port O'Connor forever, has been down, and we were talking about San Antonio Bay, an often overlooked, lots of reefs, overlooked bay area, but trout bite to 22 inches on soft plastic, and looks like that's going to be a really great area and give you other options in and around that Cedar Bio outlet. Upper Laguna Madre, in behind Mustang and St. Joe Island, inside or outside, depending upon the tides. And the tides will be bulling up on us and inundating back areas. And then when it recedes, get on the outside and catches the bait is drawn out. Baffin Bay, somewhat low, but fishing's still good. Lots of bait on grass lines and good on the potholes to catch some big trout. Down at Port Mansfield, trout have been in deeper water along grass lines. Mansfield knockers have been best in shallow flats, and ball tails and junior wigalows have been best along the deeper grass. Then you can always go offshore.
Yes, you can.
Out to 9 nautical miles.
Ah.
Out in the Gulf of America.
Very good.
Why do you laugh?
That's joy.
That's the official name.
Laughter of joy.
Yes, and it's, you know, And we reported last week that the Gulf Council met.
Yes.
And they've got new logos.
Okay.
You know, it is, it's been ingrained. There it is what it is.
It is.
It is. And how about
long may she wave.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to East Texas. Okay, time to get on some fresh water. Conroe. Fishing's been great in between the extreme winds. Catfish are good in 1 to 50 feet of baited holes, bulkheads, rocks. Trophy cats can be caught drifting ledges and flats shallow at night. Bass are good on the banks early and late in 1 to 20 feet of water on structure and brim beds during the day. Fork, black bass are post-spawn, topwater bites on. Frog patterns are working in the shallow vegetation. Crappie are moving shallow, as are large brim. Channel cats are cruising in 2 to 4 feet, biting clousers. Livingston. White bass are great in 6 to 15 feet of water on wind-blown points and ledges with white and chartreuse slabs. Catfish are in 1 to 4 feet of water on bulkheads with best action at daylight. Nacogdoches largemouth bass are excellent on Carolina rigged plum or blue-flecked worms in 12 feet of water on grass lines. Toledo Bend, still numbers of bass on the bank in 1 to 5 feet, biting wacky worms and cinchos. A few bass are starting to move out to 6 to 12 feet, hitting Carolina rigs, Texas rigs, mid-running crankbaits. The shad spawn should start any day, as hot as it has gotten. Texoma, striper fishing is great with the rise in the water levels and surface temperature. Shad spawn is in full force. Look for fish shallow along rocky banks on topwaters and swim baits. Look for birds on the banks and surface activity. Amistad. Crappie are good in 4 to 6 feet of water on minnows and jigs. I'm sorry. That's yours. I jumped ahead. I was so excited. Excuse me. Let's hear it from Amistad. Take it away.
Good crappie bite in 4 to 6 feet of water on minnows and jigs. White bass are moving upriver with a good bite off points, slabs, trolling crankbaits, or rattle traps. Catfish are great in murky water in 4 to 6 feet of water with stink bait. Coletta Creek, probably the best reservoir as far as water that it's holding. Bass fishing is consistent on soft plastics, lizards and crawworms in 2 to 7 feet of water around the reeds and stumps. Falcon, bass are great in 3 to 15 feet of water on hard bottoms with crankbaits, cinchos, or power worms. Spinner baits are good in shallow water along the rocks. Brownwood, bass to 8.36 pounds, not 8.37, but 8.36,
okay,
are excellent in 1 to 5 feet of water all around the lake in spawning pockets on hags, tornadoes, and green pumpkin. Then Allen Henry, this is going to be a consistent report through the summer. Crappie are good in 4 to 15 feet of water on jigs and minnows. Ivy, black bass are fair with catches to 12 pounds. Get this. Some fish are still spawning in 2 to 16 feet of water on long flat points with brush and back of small pockets on the main lake. And we tell people this, and Parks and Wildlife cuts off the legacy class,
mm-hmm,
one because of space.
Right.
The other, just because they got to cut it off,
oh, okay,
at some point.
Right.
But the deep bites on the flats at Ivy, where you do the Ivy drift over 25 to 30-foot flats, that goes all the way into mid-June. And finally, Meredith, walleye are great early and late on the main lakes. Sand bass are great throughout the lake with silver spoon lures and artificial grubs and chartreuse, pearl blue, and yellow.
Heading to the hill country, Buchanan. Shad are spawning along windblown shorelines and main lake points. Striped bass, hybrid, white bass are good. Deeper in trees, 20 to 38 feet of water with live bait. White bass are also hitting jigging spoons or small live shad mid-lake in 34 feet of water. There's a topwater bite at daylight, LBJ. Pattern remains consistent. Crappie are good in 10 to 15 feet of water with chartreuse jigs or minnows. Catfish are good on punch bait in 20 feet of water. Bass are good on flats, brush, rock piles, or long bulkheads with shallow crankbaits, spinnerbaits, flukes, and soft plastics, worm, and creature baits. Travis. Largemouth bass are great in the shallow grass near the inside grass line. Throwing worms and creature baits are getting the most bites. Small swim baits and glide baits and wake baits are catching some big ones.
All right, on the hunting scene, get your calendars out, folks. This Sunday, April 27th, the South Zone spring season closes. closing on May 11th, the North Zone spring season. Closing the end of this month, April 30th, the One Turkey Counties, and what opened on April 22nd, the very limited East Zone turkey season will run through May 14. Now, with that being said, the youth-only spring turkey season in the South Zone is May 3 through 4. Coming up, Harold has his, you know, little ears and bushy tail that he runs around in.
Ah, indeed.
Yeah, spring squirrel season in 51 East Texas counties, May 1 through 31. If you're looking for a place to do some squirrel hunting, particularly in East Texas, or really across the state because there's other counties too, go buy that $48 annual hunting permit.
Oh, yes.
Great, great value. Great, great value for sure. All right, what have you been driving?
Well, it's on the road, but you can still haul a bunch of stuff up to the deer lease. A very neat little vehicle. The 2025 Kia Carnival Hybrid SX Prestige. So this thing is really built for gas mileage. The engine is a 1.6-liter turbocharged hybrid with a 6-speed automatic transmission, shift-by-wire on it. This thing is really very, very smooth. But it surprisingly puts out 242 horsepower. It's got 2,500 pounds of towing, but this is three-row, eight-seat minivan, but it looks like an SUV. It's really very, very sleek, but it's got those wonderful side sliding electronically operated doors. Again, it's a front-wheel drive, but that's great in nasty weather because pulling is more controllable than pushing, actually. Again, like I say, very roomy, very good rides. Fold all those seats down, you can haul a bunch of stuff. Interesting drive modes. This thing is smooth, it's quiet, it's a great ride. It has got a full suite of driver assist systems, comfort and convenience systems, more and more. What I like about these things, the key is Hyundai's have it too. When you're looking at your electronic dash, one side is the speedometer, the other side is the tachometer. But when you flip your turn signal, it becomes a screen. And you've got a really big picture of what's behind your vehicle. And it's bigger than what your side view mirror shows. It's really, really nice. It's really, really nice. But this thing's got extra goodies on it, which I'll mention. Dark edition alloy wheels, exterior accents, LED projector headlights, LED rear headlights, leather seat trim, heads-up displays, Bose premium auto, heated steering wheel, digital rear view mirror, and more. Thing's got a lot of stuff. You're looking at an average of 33 miles per gallon, both city and highway. Loaded, comfortable, smooth ride at $54,000. I think it's a really good value. Again, the 2025 Kia Carnival Hybrid SX Prestige.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking shooting, talking guns, talking hunting. Kerry O'Day, he's on his way.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven saloonier tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros sets Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. And this portion of the program is brought to you by Spear Ag in Uvalde, Texas. You know, you might say agriculture's in the blood of Spear Ag owners Justin and Klein Spear. Since the time the brothers were born, they've been actively involved in both farming and ranching. Just like you, when you were a kid going to the feed store with your grandpa on a Saturday, today Spear Ag brings that feeling back to life. Visit their headquarters, store, and plant located at 3333 East Main Street in Uvalde, and step back in time to when customer service was the focus and the quality of goods was the priority. Spear Ag and Feeder Max Feed Wildlife products still hold to those values today. Spear Ag is the home of bagged cottonseed. They sell in bulk, plus they deliver as well. Spear Ag is also your one source for all ranch, animal, and wildlife supplies, carrying a full line of feed for cattle, horses, sheep, goats, wildlife, and pets. For agricultural and agricultural services, visit spearag.com. For more information on Spear Ag's Feeder Max lineup of wildlife blends and cottonseed, visit feedermaxfeed.com or just give them a call at 830-279-6156. That's 830-279-6156. Top of the program, we told you that Kerry O'Day is going to be our guest, and I know he's on the line. Kerry, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News.
Hey, it's always my pleasure to talk with you guys.
O'Day, can you see?
I'm sorry.
You can't help it, Harold.
We set this thing up, and the discussion today is really because of all the questions of people that stop by the Texas Outdoors Journal booth, maybe single moms or just people new to the area, about, okay, what should I buy in the way of a firearm,
rifle? Or daddy's got his, but now we need to start off the young ones.
You know, if we're talking absolute beginners, there's nothing like a 22, and I believe, I own probably 15 different 22s myself.
Right.
And that's the perfect thing to start with. Now, if we're talking somebody who's a little bit more advanced, you know, somebody who's in the, you know, age where he really wants to do serious hunting, you know, I'm a big 300 Winchester fan. I always have been. But I would say anything in the middle calibers, 30-06. 7 mag. I know you guys like the 270, the 300 Winchester. Those are going to cover 80% of anything you're ever going to hunt.
Nah, the 270 was a Jack Connor. Jack O'Connor.
And I
went the Alt-6, you know, just because of the variety. And, you know, when I bought, and that's interesting, is I don't know that we really understood the impact of the different rates of twist, you know, when you with different bullet weights back then.
You know, everything changed. Bullets in the last 10 years have progressed so much. They have gotten so much better. When Barnes started making a solid, you know, copper-type bullet, and then everybody else followed up, and then California made lead bullets illegal. But the quality of bullets and ammunition and powder have progressed tenfold in the last 10 years. But what that has created is you've got to change the rated twists, where a 30 caliber barrel for years and years and years was a 1 in 12 twist. Now everything has gone to 1 in 10 twist or even 1 in 8 twist because the bullets are so much longer. And everybody is shooting heavier bullets nowadays. In a 7mm, we used to shoot 140s, 150-grain bullets. Now everybody is shooting 162s, 175s, 190-grain bullets. They have a higher ballistic coefficient. They shoot flatter. But you've got to go from a 10-twist to a 7 or 8 twist now to be able to stabilize the longer, heavier bullet.
Yeah, Kerry, wasn't that an initial problem in the development of the AR? Like their twist was off, and then they finally got that thing corrected?
Yeah, originally the AR was built with a 12 twist, and it worked great for the original bullet, which was a 50 grain. But when they decided to go to a 55 or even the 62 grains, the twist was so bad that any time it hit a twig or a person, it started to flip and flop around and tumble. So it was inaccurate and did all kinds of terrible wound damage. So the first thing they did is they went to a 9 twist. Then eventually they even had longer bullets because they wanted something for penetrating armor. So they ended up going to a 7 twist. So your standard AR nowadays is either 9 twist or 7 twist.
All right. Was kind of going down the path of the top three or the first three firearms that you might want.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree on the 22.
Oh, yes.
Then something in the way of a center fire. For those that are coming and new to Texas that maybe come from states where center fire use is restricted,
right,
or due to range, and they're hunting with shotguns and slugs, well, that shotgun is also good for hunting birds,
right?
Okay. But we don't hear about using slugs or even buckshot here in Texas like you do in northern parts of the state. Is that a viable option here in Texas?
Yeah, Carol's grandfather, when he got older, he was killing 2 or 3 whitetail every year, and all he used was a shotgun. And if it was a longer range than 80 or 90 yards, he was using a slug. Anything that was less than 90 yards, he was using buckshot.
Hmm.
And, you know, a double-aught buck is like shooting, I can't remember, 7 or 9 30 caliber pellets, actually 32 caliber pellets at something. So if you hit it with one pellet, it's actually going to penetrate clean through. It's like hitting it with a 380 caliber or even a 38 caliber, which is going to kill the animal.
Yeah, and there's such an improvement. Sorry, Kerry, I was going to say there's such an improvement too in the shotgun ammunition, and also the versatility. I've got an old Mossberg pump. But I've got a shotgun barrel, a duck barrel, and a rifled barrel.
Yeah. And just shotguns, again, the fastest shotgun we used to have was the old Remington 1100. Then Benelli came out with a Super Black Eagle, which is twice as fast as the 1100. Then Winchester came out with their Mark III, which was faster than the Benelli, and it's just... You can shoot a shotgun faster than you can think nowadays.
Uh-huh.
You know, in sporting clays or for, you know, trap shooting or for, you know, shooting bowling pins. I mean, you certainly don't need something that fast for quail or ducks, but, you know, shotguns have improved so much. The new Benelli shotguns are unbelievable guns, absolutely unbelievable.
All right, listen, we're up against the mid-portion of the program. We need to take a break. So, Kerry, if you would, hold on. Folks, you stick around as well as we'll continue our shooting, hunting discussion with Kerry O'Day right after this.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
Stop dreaming and start fishing. Memorial weekend to Labor Day. Fish all summer with the CCA Star Tournament. Reel in one of over $2 million in prizes and scholarships. Catch a tagged redfish to win a Ford F-150 truck and boat package. 10 divisions in all. Real people win real prizes. Sponsored by Texas Ford Dealers, Academy Sports and Outdoors, and Progressive Insurance, Off Power Polaris, and Whataburger. Sign up at startournament.org. Sign up now.
We are talking shooting. We're talking hunting. We're talking choices
mm-hmm.
when purchasing firearms with Texas Outdoors Journal shooting editor Kerry O'Day. Kerry, we've kind of hit the high points of what people might consider, but let's look at all of these calibers that Sammy is, you know, acknowledging.
Right.
And you've got older calibers that have been around for a while, like the Ought 6. And then you've got new. And quite honestly, I look at the ballistics, and I'm not sure what constitutes a new caliber, you know?
Well, a few months ago, I did an article exactly talking about that, how a 30-odd-6 is 100-plus years old, 120 years old. Why would anybody want a gun that was 120 years old? It's because it is still as good as the new calibers. The difference between a 30-odd-6 and a 300 Ultra at 600 yards is like 4 inches of drop difference and maybe 500 or 600 foot-pounds of energy. And a deer, it's not going to make any difference. Or even an elk, it's not going to make any difference.
Yeah, there's no substitute for accuracy, is there?
That's right. And for practice and for training. But, sure. You know, if you're really looking at 22 250 or 220 Swift, you know, those are guns that were built in the 40s and 50s. They're still some of the best varmint calibers in the world. And you look at a 6mm compared to a 6mm Creedmoor. I'll take a regular 6mm Remington over a Creedmoor any day. The Creedmoor may be slightly more accurate, but what truthfully is the difference between a gun that shoots a half inch at 100 yards or a gun that shoots 5/8 of an inch at 100 yards? Sometimes we have to sit back and, you know, say, is it really that much difference? Do I really need to go buy this brand new gun because, you know, it's a brand new caliber, so I got to have it.
Well, and of course, so much of it's marketing, but you know, we've still got the beloved 22, but then years ago, here comes the 17, and now let's fill in the space. And recently, we got the 21.
yeah, the 20 caliber stuff, and it's kind of died away and gone to nothingness. And but the old calibers, you know, 8 or 9 of them have stuck around for over 100 years. And I don't see them going anywhere.
Well, something's real important, too, Kerry, as you know, you being such a custom reloader. But point is that whatever ammunition you've got this week and you go on a trip, you may want to go somewhere where you can buy some more if you need it.
That's right. I mean, I've hunted around the world, and there was only one time, that's when I went to New Zealand, that my guns showed up and my ammunition didn't. And with a 7STW, we were totally out of luck over there.
Right.
But we were able to find 270 and 708 ammo.
So you were able to keep on hunting.
Yeah, because we had taken a 708, a 270 for the girls, and the 7STW, we were out of luck, you know.
Yeah.
So finally the ammo showed up about 2 days before we were on our way home, so...
How about doing a little research? Harold mentioned marketing. That was going to be my comment as well. Hyping the latest. But understanding where you're going to hunt, what you're going to hunt, how you're going to hunt, and have a reason for what you're purchasing other than, oh, I've got, and whatever the buzzword.
Look at my new whatever,
Exactly.
You know... Everybody still reads what is in print, and they still believe what is in print, and which is a good thing. But I remember last April, I read an article about the only caliber you need is the 6.5 Creedmoor. And the guy's talking about hunting whitetail. He's talking about how it's good for elk and how it's good for long-range shooting of sheep and stuff. And I'm going, this guy is out of his frigging mind. You know, this is not the caliber. This is not the dream caliber that we all need.
Right.
Yeah.
And thank goodness it turned out to be an April Fool's joke.
It definitely hit the slippery slope and has slid out of favor very quickly.
Yeah. Well, and of course, there's still plenty of deer taken with 30-30s, ain't they?
Oh, yeah. You know, and what about your favorite, the 45-70?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's been around, I mean, it was the first official firearm of the, American Army.
Right.
The 45-70, followed by the 30-40 Craig. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you have a 30-40 Craig that you still use, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it just keeps on going. Before we run out of time, it's still pleasant outside.
Uh-huh.
Time to go to the range. Hunting seasons are not that far off, and they're really a lot closer if you're going big game hunting out west.
But plus there's hunting year-round in Texas anyway.
There is hunting year-round. Yeah. With free-range exotics and at game ranches. What are some of the top three or four problems you've seen on why guns don't shoot correctly on target?
Scope slippage is probably one of the biggest things. The rings and bases, one of the screws breaks off or was never tightened correctly, and that scope starts to slip. Or the rings weren't tightened properly, and the scope starts to slip forward. That's one of your biggest things. Feeding issues is another really big common problem. And the guns, we're seeing a lot of new guns being built nowadays are being built so cheaply that the factories don't have time to make sure that they actually work right.
And also, as you well know, the use of WD-40.
Hey, I love WD-40. I've made millions of dollars over the last 40 years because of WD-40. So, hey, it's a great product for it, what it's used for nuts and bolts and engines and stuff, but please don't use it on guns. After it goes and dries up, it becomes a really good varnish, which goes and gums everything up.
So. All right. There's a lot more to the story, and you can read Kerry's words of wisdom every month in Texas Outdoors Journal. Kerry, we appreciate you joining us today on Texas Outdoor News.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, and, you know, anytime you need me, I'm always there for you.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, talk to you very soon, Harold.
Folks, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
DAV helps veterans of every generation to get the benefits they've earned.
To see Alex learning to snow ski, that's life-changing.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA. And the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the outdoor calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Harold, what do we got?
Well, let us take a peek here. On May the 1st, the 26th annual Seguin Chapter of the Ducks Unlimited fundraising banquet held at the Geronimo Community Center. For info, go to ducks.org. Also, May 1, Hardin County Ducks Unlimited sponsored fundraising dinner in Lumberton, held at the Lumberton Event Center, same website. And then May 2nd, Georgetown Chapter Ducks Unlimited dinner in Georgetown, held at the Georgetown Community Center. And again, well, of course, it's ducks.org. And go to one of those great events in your brand new Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 48 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. So do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what Built Ford Tough really means.
You know, hurricane season is coming. You're going to need light. Or it's going to be raining and you'll need a light. Or you'll lose your power. We always need a light. Hybrid Light, the official mobile lighting provider of Texas Outdoor News, has flashlights, headlamps, work lights, lanterns. They even sell kits that have like one of each. These products charge with a USB cord or any light source, including the sun. And they hold a charge for 7 years. Plus, these lights can be used to charge your phone and other devices. So for our listeners and friends, they have a special offer. For 20% off any of their products and free same-day shipping, go to hybridlight.com, and at checkout, add the discount code TEXAS20. Again, 20% off, free same-day shipping, discount code TEXAS20, hybridlight.com.
I want to thank our guest today, Kerry O'Day, Texas Outdoors Journal shooting editor. And we ran out of time before could bring it up when he started talking about scopes and making sure that they are secure.
Right.
And along the way, there's been tools that have come about to help you, and one of those is the torque.
Absolutely.
You know, so that you know what you're doing. Not too tight, not too loose.
But tight enough.
But tight enough, yeah. And so I'm going to have to mention that to Kerry and have him do a story just on the tools to make it right.
Right. So. And especially those special screwdrivers where the bits fit those screws properly. Right.
Yes.
So many a gun has been ruined with the improper tool.
Absolutely. Right.
Speaking of proper tools, remember, we're brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Check out the website, TexasOutdoorNews.com. There's a list of our wonderful affiliate stations. And the shows are archived there, too, so you can play them over and over again. Okay? And a lot of good information there. So, remember, whether you're in the field or you're on the water, stay safe out there so you can join us again next week, same time, same station, for more Texas Outdoor News.